So just yesterday, I got back from a week's vacation with my family in northern Michigan. It was a glorious time, very cold. And as you may know, I have three older sisters, the three women who vested me at my ordination here, and three brothers-in-law, one of whom is also named David. Now, my brother-in-law, David, let's say he does not take easily to nicknames, which means, among my nieces and nephews, he is Uncle David. I am not. I'm also the youngest, so it just goes with the bag. So he is Uncle David, and I am Uncle Bear. Now, I'm going to say something that should come as no surprise to you. I am not a bear. Not in any usage of that word, as it happens. And as far as my nieces and nephews are concerned, of course, Uncle Bear is my full government name. But in my family, Uncle Bear signals something deeper. You see, my eldest sister, Lindsay, has called me Brother Bear my entire life. And so when she had her first child, she decided, as a way to help me transition from one role in the family to the next, I would go from Brother Bear to Uncle Bear. Now, that analogy is mostly self-indulgent. It doesn't actually help very much in this sermon. But I mention it because I'm going to be talking about another name, a name in our reading today from Mark, Satan. Especially that line from Jesus' question, how can Satan cast out Satan? And I want us to consider how this name, Satan, like most names, like Uncle Bear, functions on multiple levels. There's the more apparent one that most of us are familiar with, Satan as the name given to the personification of evil in this world. And then there's this less apparent one that Jesus seems to be playing with today. The name that Jesus gives to human politics. And by politics, I mean in the very basic sense, whatever happens when two or more people interact. Satan casting out Satan is what we do. And here's what I mean. So scribes show up, and they accuse Jesus of using an evil spirit to control other evil spirits. And so Jesus responds, asking a somewhat curious question, how can Satan cast out Satan? And this question functions on the same plane of the accusation made against him, that Jesus has this spirit. And Jesus' point on a simple plane is simple. Any one power pitted against itself will only lead to its own destruction. And I think we get the message there easily enough. And while addressing the scribe's accusation about demon possession, Jesus is also playing with the word Satan, the Aramaic word for tempter or tempted one, so that Satan casting out Satan becomes a shorthand for how we, you and I, live in this world. It's exactly what we heard in today's reading from Genesis. Adam, when asked by God what had transpired with that snake, is tempted to protect himself from consequence. And so he throws Eve under the proverbial bus. Mary and the brothers of Jesus, they fear what Jesus' reputation is doing to their family, so they try to silence him, pulling him away from the crowd. And the Pharisees and temple leaders and scribes later on will fear that Jesus' rabble-rousing message might actually incur the wrath of Rome. And so they decide to kill him. Satan casting out Satan is just a way to name how we live from a presumption of scarcity and fear. Consciously or not, we fear that without someone else against whom to define ourselves, we will not get to flourish, or worse, we will be taken advantage of and destroyed. And so, like Adam, like Mary and Jesus' brothers, we give in to the temptation to self-preserve and create identities in opposition to other people who are not us. We do it in simple ways. We categorize people, you know, like people over in Appalachia, Black Americans, Republicans or Democrats, millennials or boomers. We signal it, too, with the ways that we live in our social activities, in our dress, in our speech. We signal those to whom we belong and those to whom we do not. You see, Satan casting out Satan is how any geopolitics survives. We need a default opponent, the working poor, conservatives or liberals, protesters, Fox News types, the politically correct, people who experience homelessness, immigrants, the wealthy. You know, I think despite our new technologies, there's really nothing new about our current climate of fear and siloing, except maybe the rate of production. It, simply put, is just Satan casting out Satan. One tempted by fear, casting out another tempted by fear. So in Jesus' response, he's not simply offering some logic puzzle to confound the scribes. Satan casting out Satan is the way the world has functioned through time, and Jesus wants to be clear, it has done nothing but self-destruct. And if that is not unsettling enough for us this morning, the way to propose a way out is a parable that unsettles any property holder, because the hero of the story is a thief, someone who will break into the tempter's house unnoticed, like a helpless, poor child in some backwater, exactly where you'd expect a thief to be born. A thief who will break in and bind up the strong man, bind up the tempting power who officiates over the system of fear, so that another way might be. And Mark's gospel is speaking clearly. Mark's gospel is signaling that the end of this way of being has come, because Jesus has come to break the machine with his own body. Jesus is the thief, the one who comes to bind up the strong man, to say to the tempter, "You're done." And in so doing, says to each of us, "Let go. Let go of the belief that our hopes and dreams are too compromisedly built upon the tempter's system to try something different." Now, I hardly have to say it. You know it well, that in just about every corner of our social landscape, there is frustration with the polarization of American society. I have plenty of ideas, as I'm sure you do, about the origins of this conflict. But what I don't hear often is people being willing to give even an inch. I think this is in part because each of us still live with the prevailing fear that if we make ourselves vulnerable, if we permit another way of being or thinking to be equally valid, we won't survive the consequences. We will lose our status, or our future, or the subtle grip we have on reality. And it's not like Jesus is making it very easy for us. I mean, he doesn't shy away from what a disruption this can be. We hear it right away when he replies to the suggestion that his family is asking for him. He disrupts one of our deepest rooted politics, the family. Who are my mother and my brothers? Who are the people to whom I belong, for whom I am responsible? Those who do the will of God is Jesus' answer. Said differently, those who live no longer by the rule of Satan casting out Satan. In that moment, that uncomfortable moment for us as readers, Jesus is expanding how we understand family. Belonging that is no longer restricted to fulfilled parental expectations, or to continuing the family line, or enlarging the family's reputation, or at a baseline, staying out of trouble. Instead, family comes to mean those whom God has grafted into Jesus' body. Family means that the only justification is that God wanted them, as God wants each of us. And so strangely, this is a gift. It is a gift that we are given by being in a congregation who belong to Jesus and to one another, even if we disagree profoundly, even if our economic commitments diverge, or our party politics compete, or if we just annoy each other. One of the greatest gifts that we are given is to be stuck with one another in Jesus, however frustrating that may be. But by being honest about the differences that exist among us, by holding the tensions that our diversity creates, we can practice what it means to belong and to welcome new siblings. And friends, that really matters. Because we are a niche group of people. A niche group that God is calling out into the world to make new family members, to care for yet unknown siblings who will look and talk and behave and believe quite unlike us. You see, God has invited us here to be vulnerable enough with our subtle differences here in this community so that we can be ready to be vulnerable enough to cross the calcifying lines of our society. And fear not, because God sends us with a message and with grace and mercy for the journey. And the message is this: Jesus has bound the strong man. Satan need not cast out Satan any longer. Amen.